Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
So, the finish line is in sight, and lawmakers are scrambling to get everything done before they leave town next week. What are they going to have accomplished this year?
Well, the Democrats can boast about historic achievements in everything from gun control, LGBT rights, to environmental regulations and decriminalizing marijuana. Now, some of the more progressive Democrats are feeling a little frustrated, though, because some of the more aggressive measures that came out of the House of Delegates have been tempered by the Senate. The best example of this is the minimum wage. Now, the House passed a $15 an hour minimum wage for all of Virginia by 2025. The Senate took a regional approach, and Hampton Roads won't see $15 an hour until 2034. And another example is collective bargaining. The House approved collective bargaining for employees of state and local governments. The Senate is restricting collective bargaining to employees of local governments, not state workers. Now, I asked the Senate Majority Leader Dick Sasslaw about that.
What's wrong with state workers doing collective bargaining?
Nothing. That's just not my bill.
But do you have a case against it, or what? Why don't
I said this is what? Yeah, we don't have the votes.
So what about?
We don't have the votes. There's nothing more to say. We don't have the votes.
They don't have the votes in part because Sasslaw isn't supporting it. But he's not alone. There are a handful of more conservative Democrats in the Senate that are taking the edge off a lot of the more progressive bills coming out of the House.
Well, what about Republicans? Have they been able to make any headway in the era of Democratic rule?
Well, yes and no. Many Republicans have turned their attention to bills that help their constituents in ways that might not always grab headlines. Bills that target scams against seniors, for example, or bills that help designate emergency evacuation routes, things like that. And some of them have actually ended up voting in favor of big picture agenda items of the Democrats, like increasing penalties for people who make firearms available to children. It's a good example of that. Now, I asked Republican Senator Mark Obenshain about what he thought of the new Democratic majority.
We have taken a hard left turn, say, Commonwealth of Virginia, on virtually every issue that's going to affect every business and every employee in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have the potential to go from the best state in America to do business to the bottom half of the country, and it's going to hurt Virginians all across the Commonwealth.
This is an argument you hear over and over from Republicans. All these bills pushed by Democrats will harm Virginia's business climate. And I suppose we'll find out if that's true the next time one of those state-by-state business rankings come out.
So the House and Senate have been furiously engaged in lawmaking, passing hundreds of bills and often staying late into the night, even past midnight a couple of times. What happens when they leave town next week?
Well, that's when the governor gets to have his say. Now, it's impossible to overstate how much power the governor has over all of this stuff. Now, Virginia actually has one of the most powerful governors in the country because he gets to amend every single bill and change it the way he wants it. Now, the members of the General Assembly will be coming back to consider all those amendments, but they'll no longer be considering General Assembly bills. They'll be considering Ralph Northam bills. Take an issue like what kind of protective orders prohibit people from carrying a firearm. I asked Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security Brian Moran about a change the Senate made to the wording of how the bill was written.
And we'll obviously get another chance to review all of these bills when they get to the governor's desk. We can review them with more lawyers to take a look at and make sure they do what we expect them to do.
Now, that last part is key, what we expect them to do. What he means there is all these bills are going to be changed so that they accomplish what the governor expects them to do. So I guess you could say that the General Assembly session is just beginning, even as it's ending.
I guess you could say the end is the beginning.
Well, Winston Churchill once said, this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. I think that applies to where things stand right now in Richmond.
Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you.